Luke chapter 2 in your Bible this morning, and we're going to go over to a familiar passage that is normally used at Christmas time and read a few verses out of this chapter, and then I'll bring a message along the lines, a couple of purposes today along the lines of Mother's Day and another thought for us as well. Luke chapter 2, let's stand together please in honor of God's Word. We're reading verses 15 through 19. If you would please join me on the even-numbered verses 16 and 18. This is what the Bible says in this chapter, chapter 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you again for our mothers, all these good ladies who've been blessed to be moms through the years. Thank you for the good music we've already enjoyed. Now, Lord, please prepare our hearts for the message with one last song, and then may we be ready to receive what you have for us from your word this morning. And God will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Sometimes your pathway may through uncertainty lie. Circumstances seem to tell you that there's no reason to try, but walk on, walk on for Jesus, walk on in His name, lifting high the blood-stained banner, walk on. Shadows where doubts and fears reside, He will crown your faith with victory if in Him we will abide. So walk on, walk on for Jesus.
Your attention to verse 19, Luke 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want to bring a message this morning entitled The Pondering Heart. We've been on the series on the heart for these several weeks. Of course, Brother Coral was here last Sunday. I want to pick up now, and I don't know, today I'll go as long as the Lord lays thoughts or impressions upon my heart from His Word. And so this morning being Mother's Day, and I was drawn to this passage, The Pondering Heart. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to preach your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will surely be here to still our hearts and to guide us into all truth. O Holy Ghost of God, You are the one who brings liberty to a service, and only you. And I pray that we'll be quiet and still, and that, Lord, we'll listen and be blessed. And would your word do a good work in us today? Would it please fall on good ground? And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. Ponder. Pondered. Pondering are words that we do not use today as often as people used them in years gone by. But the word is very easily understood. It simply means to weigh in the mind, to consider and compare the circumstances or consequences of an event. I think you pretty well have a good picture of what it means to ponder, to think. You know, you ponder when you are deciding between two items. Maybe you're going to make a purchase and you're trying to decide between a Ford or a Chevy. Well, that doesn't take much pondering. Maybe you're trying to decide between the purchase of this or that, and you weigh them against each other, and you have strengths and weaknesses and weaknesses and strengths, and you're trying to figure it all out. You ponder. You give some thought to it. You think on it. Sometimes pondering takes but a moment. Other times pondering is a slow, slow process. But regardless of how long or short the process is, pondering involves the mind. It involves the mind and the thinking processes. Therefore, pondering takes place in our heart. That's where pondering happens. It happens in our heart because, remember, we understand that most of the time when the Bible uses the word heart, it's not talking about that physical muscle that's pumping blood through our circulatory system, okay, and our chest. It's not, so once in a while, but more often than not, the word heart is referring to that core of our person, where we think and how we make decisions and our feelings, our thoughts, our feelings and our choices. That is the heart of a person, okay? And we all should develop a pondering heart. A heart that thinks and considers and weighs the consequences or circumstances before we just impulsively make a decision. I don't know about you, but I am given to impulsiveness. I'm just that kind of personality and that kind of person. But that does not excuse me from the need, the necessity of pondering things in this life. I'll tell you something, brother. You go through this life shooting from your hip and you're going to be in trouble before you know it. I'm talking about in every way. I'm talking about when it comes to anything. I'm talking about when it comes to marriage, when it comes to owning a home, when it comes to buying something, when it comes to working. You can't shoot from the hip. Now, once in a while, it's demanded from us that we decide and decide quickly. But most things, we choose better if we take a little time to ponder. Are you with me this morning? You know what I'm talking about? Pondering, okay? Now, in our text today, the one doing the pondering is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And since this is Mother's Day, I want to spend just a few minutes on Mary, and then I want to get into another line of thinking on this subject of the pondering heart. When you come to this passage right here, for Mary, it had been an unbelievable 9-month journey. Unbelievable. You see, Mary was engaged to Joseph, and she was living the normal routine of an engaged young Jewish lady. We have a couple of young ladies in our church. Megan is engaged. And just in case you're wondering, it's 40 days from her wedding today, all right? And she's here with her fiance today. Elizabeth McDonald is engaged out of town today. But Elizabeth is engaged. We have a couple of Ben Payne is engaged. And to a blind girl, amen? But no, I'm just teasing. He's engaged. Ben is engaged. And Luke is engaged. So these young people. Now Mary was going through life as a young, engaged Jewish woman. I mean, anticipating her wedding and all that goes with it. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes this angel to her named Gabriel and appears to her and begins to tell her that she's going to birth a child. And it absolutely stuns her because she has never known a man physically, which is how young ladies ought to be before they get married, and how young men ought to be before they get married, and how these young people are. So it was stunning. What do you mean I'm going to have a baby? I've never been with a man in that manner. And she, and the angel says, no, this baby is different. This baby is the Son of God. And His name is Jesus. He's going to be a Savior and save the people, His people from their sins. And my goodness, she could have responded with anger and bitterness. I mean, come on now. You're talking about a whole life interrupted here. You know what she said? She said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. You know what that word handmaid means? It means servant. Lord, whatever the Lord wants is okay for me. Whatever God wants. And so now, then she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth out in the hill country. And her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months along with the baby that's going to become John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary walks in the house, John the Baptist in his mother's womb leaps for joy. And the Bible tells us in another scripture that John was filled with the Holy Ghost at that moment when Mary, carrying the baby Jesus, walked into the house. And then she stayed there for a while. And then, of course, made the trip back home to Nazareth, where she lived with, was going to marry Joseph. And then from Nazareth to Bethlehem, oh, by way, no doubt of donkey or mule probably, and then the inns are full, there's no room, and it's time to deliver a child, and there's no hospital, and there's no sanitized place, and they put her out in a stable where the horses and sheep and the animals are housed and fed, and she births. She gives birth to a child, not just a child, the Christ child, in a stable. Now go figure. In a stable. Reckon if Kate and Prince William have any children that she'll give birth to that child in a stable? I don't think so. Because, you know, he'd be an heir to the throne. I will tell you something. Jesus Christ is heir to a throne. He's born in a stable. And she laid him on a manger of hay. And then, now she's there. Can you imagine? And then, you know, ladies, after you have a baby, man, you're glad for your husband, maybe your immediate family, if you have previous children you've given birth to come in and be there after you've given birth. But into her hospital room walks these wild-eyed shepherds. They probably stink. They've been out guarding the sheep and the hillside and flocks, watching their flocks by night. And here they come pouring into this stable. Now, this is what she's going to have to do. She's going to have to share her boy with the entire world. And here they come. And an angel came into our camp and told us that there is a Savior born in this city and we'd find Him here. And so then the whole sky filled up with an angelic choir. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And we wanted to come see this. And now they came in, and then they blew out as quick as they blew in, and now they were gone. And she lay there resting as best as she could. The little boy asleep. She's watching his little chest rise and fall with the rhythmic breathing. You know, ladies, don't take away her natural feelings just because she's the mother of Jesus. She was a human. She had natural feelings. Feelings that all of you had when your little ones were born. The wonder, the joy, the exhilaration, the awe, the understanding, the never again. You young men that are, your wife's going to have babies, let me tell you, give you a little advice and counsel. After that baby is born and you are tempted to say, I can't wait till the next one comes. Zip your lip, all right? And hold off just for a little while, okay? That comes later, but not then, all right? Not then. Like you see Joseph, I can't wait for the next one. Hush up. She had all the same feelings that you moms did when you gave birth to your little one. But her natural feelings were also accompanied by her pondering. Pondering. Weighing it over in her mind and thinking about it. What exactly will his life be like? What exactly will happen to this boy? How much did she know about his life at that point? I'm not sure, but I'm sure that's part of what she pondered as she watched this little one on the hay in the manger, that stable. She pondered, and that's not the only time she ponders. We don't have time, but at the end of Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us when Jesus was 12 years of age that she kept all of these sayings in her heart. She pondered. And she carried this boy, and she weighed this boy, and she carried this boy in her heart. She pondered in her heart about her son. I will say this morning, ladies. I am amazed and even sometimes bothered. I don't mind admitting that in today's world at how children often seem to be an afterthought with their parents. an afterthought. And I'm talking about even moms. Even mothers. I mean, career and hobbies and recreation eat up all the time that moms could give to pondering in their hearts about their children. Now, ladies, you may have to work, and I understand that in this day and age, but if you do, if you have to work, please guard the rest of your day. Don't let those children grow up without a mother pondering them in her heart, carrying them in her heart. And ladies, can I say to those of you who are stay-at-home moms, you stay at home with the little kids, your house is small and your yard is small and your husband works long hours and sometimes there's more than one little child in the house and it's work. I love it when people say, oh, you know, she doesn't work, she stays at home. My goodness. Ladies, those of you at home, take time to ponder, to savor and ponder in your heart each one of your children. Hey, they won't be little very long. You're going to blink your eyes and they're going to be walking across getting their high school diploma someday. You're going to blink your eyes and they're going to be standing at an altar or walking down a church aisle to be united in marriage to a spouse. You're going to blink your eyes and you can't believe how fast it's going to go. Don't let those moments, don't let those days, don't let those weeks and months pass without you savoring them. And I know the work gets hard and I know it sometimes it feels like maybe you're locked in a prison. But I want to tell you something. The life that you think has you locked in a prison is the life that many of these career and hobbied mothers would love to have. Love to have. My mother had to work. She worked as a secretary where we went to school. We went to school with my mom and came home with my mom. You ought to have your mother as the church, as the school secretary when you get in trouble at class. Not only are you going to see the principal, but you're going to see your mother. When I showed up, and I must confess it was more than once through the years, when I showed up at the principal's office in the middle of the day, there was always this stunned look. What are you doing here? I would put a knot in my stomach. Yeah. So mom had to work. And I want to tell you something about my mother. As far as I know, she had no hobbies. She had no recreation. She had no play. Because she had to work, she took all the rest of the time in her life for her husband and her children. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. My daughters have all three of them worked at daycare centers. And one of my daughters is nannying right now. And sometimes that leads to other babysitting opportunities. And the stories will break your heart. Break your heart. About little children. Just bounced around from daycare to babysitter to nanny to this to that. And look, if you have to use a babysitter and you have to work, I'm not getting on you this morning. I'm simply saying if you have to work an outside job, you be careful to guard the rest of your life and make sure that you allow for a lot of time to ponder on your children. Amen. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Pondered this son, this little boy, Jesus, in his heart, her heart. Oh, the blessing of having a mother who has time and concern enough to ponder her children in her heart. The pondering heart. Mary pondered these things in her heart. Now, I want to finish this morning, the time that I have left, with these thoughts on the pondering heart. Because there's another scripture, and I won't have you turn to it. Listen to me as I quote it for you. It's not hard to follow. It's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 26 and 27, where the Word of God says this, ponder the path of thy feet. You hear that? Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The wise man in the book of Proverbs said, ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder, weigh, turn it over in your heart. Turn it over in your mind. Consider the consequences. Weigh the path of your feet. Hey, watch it. It did not say, ponder your feet. It didn't say that. It said, ponder the path your feet are walking. Let me ask you a question this morning. What road are you traveling? You say, I'm not real sure. Well, the Bible tells you to ponder that. The Bible tells you to weigh that. The Bible tells you to think on that. The Bible tells you to put that in your mind and in your heart and think on it for a while. Ponder the path of thy feet. I want to say two or three things this morning about the path and how you and I need to ponder the path of our feet. Number one, let me say this morning that every path has an end. Every path has an end. Hey, folks, there is no road to nowhere. There's not a road to nowhere. If you stay on a path long enough, it will reach an end. So ponder this morning. Where does the path I am walking end? Where does the path I am walking lead me? Can I give you a little bit of advice this morning? Do you know what would be wise for everybody in this room to do? It would be wise to think about how you want to end. Think about that. How do you want to end? And when you come to that conclusion about how you want to end, find the path that has that end and stay on it. I was shocked when Daniel got up to sing this morning, "Walk on." Walk on. Find the path that has the end you want and stay on that path. And let me ask you again this morning, how do you want to end? Do you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Do you want to hear that? Do you want to end in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to end with a life of Christian testimony? Do you want to end with your Bible worn from being used? Do you want to end with a prayer request still on your heart? Do you want to end singing the hymns and the spiritual songs that bring strength and comfort? Do you want to end with a life marked by Christianity? I said marked by Christianity. Marked by Christianity. I'm not talking about an afterthought. I'm not talking about a life segmented into compartments. Some of these are secular, some of these are sacred. I'm talking about a life marked in every area as a servant of Jesus Christ. Friend, if that is how you want to end, find the path that leads to that end and stay on it. Because every path has an end. How do you want to end? I've seen some horrible endings. As a college student, I saw a man end his life in a mixture of blood and alcohol on Division Street, carrying a liquor bottle, shot in the head on the sidewalk, stumbled to the pavement and fell flat out on his face on Division Street up here in Chicago. The broken liquor bottle spilling the liquor contents and the blood from his head mingling together. Is that how you want to end your life? If you don't want to end like that, you don't get on the road that leads to that thing. How do you want to end? You want to end your life in depression and overwhelmed with suicidal thoughts and all that nonsense. Is that what you want? Do you want to end your life like that? If you don't want to end your life like that, don't get on the path that leads to that end. You see, every path has an end. Come to this decision. Come to think about it. Ponder this morning. How do I want to end my life? And when you come to that conclusion, then you find the path that leads to that particular end. Get on it and stay on it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on the path that goes to the end you've chosen. You know, when Diane Brown, my pastor's wife out in Iowa, was diagnosed with her cancer, and we knew that her time was short, Joyce and I wanted to go visit her, and I called Preacher, and he said, "Sure, you come anytime you want." So we made plans to go, and I can't remember what day it was on, but we took off for Washington, Iowa, and we visited with Diane for a while, stayed about an hour there at the house and visited with her. And then it came time to go, and we decided to go down, of course, to Middletown, Iowa, to see Joyce's dad and spend the night with him. And so we started out from Washington to Middletown. Now, our desire was to end in Middletown at John's house. And we got to talking. We got to talking about old times. We got to talking about Diane. We got to talking about Brother Brown and the church out in Iowa. We got to talking. And I've made that trip from Washington to Burlington, Iowa, many times. I could tell you how to get there this morning. And I'm driving, and we're talking, and we're having a good time. And all of a sudden, on the right-hand side of this road that we're traveling, I look up, and there is this huge gated entrance to this outfitter place. And if an outfitter is a place where they have, where you can go hunt deer and pheasant and quail out there in southern Iowa. And had a big gate and a big ranch sign, you know. It said certain such an outfitter. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought when I saw that, I thought, when did they build that? When did they build that? And then I thought, I looked around, I looked at the countryside, this is not familiar. I looked down at my compass and I'm headed south. I am about 12 miles from the Missouri border out in Iowa. We got to talking and got to fellowshipping, and we missed the turn that I was always, you know, always had taken to go to Middletown. I got off the path, and I was just a few miles from the Missouri border. It went the wrong direction, so I had to turn around and get off that path because it did not have the desired end. My desired end was Middletown, Iowa. My desired end was John Christner's house. I was headed to Missouri. He lives in Middletown, Iowa. Friend, I want to tell you something. Decide how you want to end this thing and get on the path that leads to that end. So every path has an end. Ponder the path of your feet. Number two, I want to say this morning, you cannot change the end of the path. You cannot change the end of the path. We have crazy mentality today. And it's a crazy mentality like this. You know, I'll keep going down this path and I'm sure everything will turn out all right. You know what you're really saying? You know, I don't care where this path ends. I'm going to walk it, and I'm convinced that when I get to the end, everything's going to be okay anyway. You know what you're saying? You're saying that you have the power to change the end of that path. You don't have that power. Neither do I. You cannot change the end of a path. I get so amused sometimes out knocking doors and witnessing to people, to hear people tell me, oh, I go to such and such a church and we worship God in our way. And by the way, brother, we're all headed to the same place anyway. We may be traveling on different roads to get there, but we're all going to end up at the same place. I think to myself when people say that, that is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. If six of us wanted to go to Washington, D.C., and we're all taking separate vehicles, and we're all going to meet at the Washington Monument, I don't think we're all going to just say, yeah, take any road you want to, go any direction you want to, we'll all meet at the Washington Monument. They say, you're nuts. Look, if we have that much sense about how to get to the Washington Monument, my gracious, why do we throw caution to the wind when we're talking about ending up in heaven? What is this nonsense? You just go anyway, and I'll tell you what, certain preachers have helped facilitate that idea. Even the America's evangelist, Billy Graham, in his recent years, has muddied the waters on this and been very unclear about it. And basically told people on nationally syndicated show that it doesn't matter. The Buddhist is going to end up in heaven because he worships in the way he was trained. And this is going to end up in heaven because he worships in the way he was trained. I'm sorry, friend, but I don't know where he got that. He didn't get that out of his old King James Bible. Jesus said, neither is there, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under name, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Talking about the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How much plainer could he be? How much clearer can it get? And yet we have people walk around saying, well, it doesn't matter what road you're walking, it all ends up to heaven. It'll all end up there anyway. No, that's not true. You're not going to go through life denying that Jesus is the Son of God, denying that He died, buried, and rose again, and end up in heaven. That road doesn't end at heaven. That road ends at hell. And you can't change that. I don't care. I'm going to believe what I want to believe, and I'm going to go through life believing that this is the way, and I'm sure we're all going to end up in the same place. That's saying that you can walk any path you want to, and you have the power to change the end of that path. You don't have the power to change the end of that path. I don't have the power to change the end of the path. The end of the path is what it is. If you want to end up in heaven, friend, you're going to have to travel the road of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. You're going to have to travel the road of trusting Him as your personal Savior. You're going to have to travel the road of admitting that you can't get yourself there and embracing what He did for you as your only hope of salvation. And that's the only road that ends in heaven. That's the one you better walk. You can't change the end of the path. And then let me say this. You can't change the end of the path when you have been saved and you want to end hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You can't walk the way of worldliness and unfaithfulness and change the end. You're not going to do that, folks. Now, really, that's what the mentality that some people have. The path you are traveling has an end, and that is where you will finish. Now, ponder that. Ponder that. Ponder. You can't change the end of the path. But as I'm going to say last of all this morning, number three, you can't change paths. Now, you can't change the end of the path, but you can change paths. You can do that. Thank God you can change paths. Changing paths. And watch. That's all right. It'll take care of a second. Changing paths begins with pondering. It's all right. Pondering. But then it moves to action. You must do something about it. GPSs are a blessing. Until you get a woman telling you, recalculating. Somebody told me that there is a man's voice setting somewhere on the GPS. I haven't found it yet. Now, I'm not a male chauvinist pig, ladies, but I am a man. And a man hates to get directions from anybody. Recalculating. Boom, recalculate that. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Recalculate. Look, that bothers me, even though in the end it helps me, it still bothers me. It puts me back on the right path. But you know that you and I, those of us that are saved, and we want to end with a "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so I got to find the path that leads to that end and stay on it. You know that you and I have a recalculator inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to veer to the right or to the left, the Holy Spirit goes, you better think about that. Where are you going to get off? And I've done this before, folks. I've told you this before. Listen very carefully. Come on, Brother Dan. If Dan and I are up here and our goal is to walk to the back of that auditorium. Stand right beside me here, bud. If our goal is to walk to the back of that auditorium there together, we're not going to go. You ready to go, aren't you? Amen. He's ready to leave. He wants to go to the bathroom or something, all right? So if we're going to walk back there together, all right, if I turn the slightest degree to the left here, doesn't look like a whole lot, does it? Looks like we're pretty much walking the same direction now. But if you put a little distance, ready, just a little bit. If you put a little distance, put a little time between me and Dan, the longer we walk, the further off course I'm going to get. That make sense to y'all? You know what that means, parents? That means if you want your grandchildren to be walking the same path that you're walking, you better not deviate 1 or 2 degrees. And some of you are not thinking. Some of you are not pondering. You're not giving one bit ponder to this thing. You want to take a little bit of a turn. Thank you, Dan. A little bit of a deviation. It doesn't amount to a whole lot right now. Well, you know, it's just not quite what the church believes or what quite the Bible says, but almost. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to put about 20 years between your deviation and your grandchildren, and you're going to go, "What in the world did I do?" I watch it happen. And grieve in my heart at what I know is going to take place in 15 to 20 years. When you begin to deviate from that path and that Holy Spirit of God inside of you goes, recalculate, you better not turn a deaf ear to Him. You better hear what He says. You better listen. Because he's trying to keep you on the path that has the end that you say you want to reach. You know, getting off course will happen. It's going to happen to every one of us. None of us is going to stay on the straight and narrow every 100% of the time. But brother, when we start to get off, thank God for the person of the Holy Spirit, sometimes through preaching, sometimes through devotions, sometimes through just His communication with us, says, hey, you're getting off course. Thank God for the recalculator, the person of the Holy Spirit. Are you pondering? Are you pondering this morning? Do you have a pondering heart? Have you weighed this thing? Have you weighed it? Have you thought it through? Have you considered the circumstances and the consequences and really calculated about this matter of the path you are walking? Find the end that you want. Get on the path that leads to that end. Stay on it. And when the Holy Spirit says to you, recalculate and get back on course. Ponder the path of your feet. Do you have a pondering heart this morning? Or are you just going through life by the seat of your pants? Ponder it? Are you weighing it? Are you thinking about it? A pondering heart. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention. A couple of distractions, but that's all right. I wonder here who's here this morning would say, Pastor Angel, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart just now throughout the course of this message, and something that was said rang true with me. I don't want to go through life by the seat of my pants. I don't want to go through life impulsively responding to all the sight and sound and taste and feelings of this world. I know where I want to end up. I know where I want to end this thing. And I need God's help to stay on path. I'm afraid that I have not taken the time to properly ponder lately the path of my feet. But the Spirit of God has given me something to think about this morning. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor, when you close in prayer in a moment, to pray for me. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I really need to ponder the path of my feet a little bit more. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate that. Take them down. You may take them down. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Many hands. Ponder. I asked this question this morning. How many folks here in the room would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sure of it for a Bible reason. I've been saved, born into God's family, and I know it. Let me just ask you to be honest when you answer this question. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? I know that I'm saved for a Bible reason. Thank you. You may take your hands down. I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. I wonder if this morning there'd be somebody who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. In fact, Pastor, I was one of those that kind of thought, you know, we all just go a different road and everybody ends up in heaven. But if the Bible doesn't teach that, that makes me nervous. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm going to end up in that wonderful place for eternity. I'm not sure, Pastor Angel. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Just slip it up, take it right back down. When I see it, I won't call your name or come to you. Just we'll pray for you in a moment. Anybody like that, side to side, back to front, I see a small hand. God bless you. Anybody else not sure that I'm saved? Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven? Ponder that for a moment. Weigh it. You know for sure. Anybody here this morning? All right? How many folks would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. You lift a hand this morning. God bless you. If you came prepared to follow the Lord in believer's baptism today, now's the time for you to come. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just make your way to the front, and we'll be ready to baptize you. And we have the help to do it. That'll be a blessing, all right? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and nobody's looking this morning. This is wonderful. If you've been visiting our church, and you know that this is the place you want to call home, be a member. You have visited with one of the pastors or myself about this matter, we would invite you to join as God leads you. If you would like to talk to us about membership, you can come and tell these fellows, I want to make an appointment for membership. And we'll get a chance to talk to you about it. During the invitation this morning, you could step out and come. Is there anybody else this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. Just lift your hand up and right back down. Not sure that I'm saved. Let's look around for a minute. All right. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I pray that you'll please do a good work in our hearts. Lord, I pray for every person that lifted a hand. Many hands went up at that first question. How many of us need to ponder the path of our feet? How many of us, oh God? Where do we want to end? How do we want to finish? Think about it. And then may we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He recalculates us when we get off course. Please help us, Lord. I thank you for these that have come to be baptized. If there's any others, Lord, that need to be, I pray that they'll step out in courage and bravery and obedience this morning to Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, if anybody's here not saved, I pray that you'll prick their heart with conviction and bring them to Christ in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Listen carefully. We're a church that gives an invitation. I know some churches have gone by the wayside when they concerning this thing, but we believe it's the right biblical thing to do. The Word of God has been preached. God has spoken to your heart. Now I give you the opportunity to respond to God. We have a lot of new folks in this church. Maybe you don't understand what an invitation is. The Spirit of God speaks to your heart during a message. When we stand, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The ladies play the instruments. It's a good time for you to come down to the front, kneel here, and tell the Lord that you heard His voice. I heard you, Lord. And I need to do this, and will you please help me and spend just a moment on your knees, responding to what God has done in your life. It'd be a great thing if many of you would come this morning who lifted a hand. I prayed for you. I take advantage of the invitation to talk back to your God. Let's ponder the path of our feet. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Right as you place it. You come this morning. You raise your hand. You step out. Don't be scared to do that. While we wait, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ponder the path of your feet. Weigh it. Consider it. Ponder it. You come this morning.